Also excited about jumping into a new series, and really grateful for all of our graduates today. This is a great, great week one series message for you guys today, and I believe that if you'll pay close attention, that this is a word that can help you with the decisions and choices and the days, the months, the years that you have waiting for you just ahead. But this also is welcome to summer 2021. I think we're finally done with school in all of our counties. Our teachers hopefully are finished with all of the end of year wrap up and administrative items and checklists. And our students, I know, are thrilled to be right, engaged in summer. Moms and dads are glad. I'm believing for a good summer ahead, but we've also been in a strong spiritual season as a church. I believe that God is preparing us for great things, and I believe this word has been trying to get us ready, and I don't want to lose that to summer. I don't want to lose that to sort of the kind of lays of summer and the relax of summer. I want to encourage you to stay connected and to remain plugged in and to continue being faithful right on through summer. I know you're going to grab a vacation. You're going to get away for a weekend. Please do that. Have a blast. I'm going to do that as well. But stay connected. You can join us online, see what's happening at the church, because I want to keep this momentum going and I want to keep moving forward. It's just incredible to see so many guests every Sunday, and I'm just excited about our guests, and I know that others are coming this summer, and I'm looking forward to meeting them. But today is a new series, and I'm actually teaching straight out of this book called Winning the War in Your Mind. You'll see it on the screens. It's a book by Craig Groeschel, and just a fantastic, he pastors Life Church, which is known as the largest church in America, well over 100,000 members, many, many, many campuses all throughout Oklahoma. They're branching out all over now, but just a fantastic pastor and a great author, and what I'm teaching today is literally coming straight from this book. So if you want to grab the book, if you want to pick that up, you can get one of those and read along and kind of see and hear where we're going, and I believe that it will build and certainly bless your life. But let me give you sort of the big idea of the book so that you understand, because I think many of us have these ongoing battles in our minds. Anybody have an ongoing battle in your mind? I see a few honest hands. It just seems like it's an ongoing, never-ending battle. And I want to normalize that just a little bit today. I don't want to excuse it. I don't want to permit you to ignore it. It is a war that is going on in your mind, and it's a war that needs to be won and not given up on. It's not a fight you need to just resign yourself to and say, well, I gave up on that a long time ago. I threw in the towel. I waved the white flag on that long ago, because I just cannot win that war. What does that look like? Sometimes that war is over my faith versus my fear. Sometimes that war is my trust versus my desire to control things. Maybe it's a war for you about confidence versus insecurity. The mind is literally a battlefield, especially in in the crazy and uncertain times that we are living in. We have seen anxiety go through the roof. We've seen depression over the last 13, 14 months that we have been in this pandemic season. Depression, anxiety, suicide, all of those things are through the roof. We've seen the effect that it has had on our students. We're honoring 2020 and 2021 graduates today because we weren't even having church last year. We weren't having in-person services during graduation season. It's just weird. It's weird for our students. It's odd times that we are living in. One of my kids graduating from middle school, and we did a drive-through, and I mean, I appreciated them doing, doing it the way they did it and making it as good as it possibly could be, but he and I couldn't help but look at each other and just laugh multiple times, like, this is weird, this is just strange, and so all of that contributes to the war that we have going on in our minds. And the enemy is making the most of it. He's wreaking havoc. He is causing all kinds of problems for us in our heads. Just look at somebody and tell them it's all in your head. That's what I'm teaching for a little while today. It's all in your head. And let me give you a truth today. Most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. Most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. But there is good news, and there is hope, because you and I can absolutely win the war in our mind. I want to teach today how powerful God's word is. We're committed to the word. I was raised by word preachers, and I gravitate and am attracted to and feel like I'm doing my best when I'm heavy in the word. If you hear me weekly, you know I'm not very many personal stories or chicken soup for the soul type. I enjoy hearing preaching like that, but if it's me and I'm trying to work through a subject, I'm going to get into the word and see what the Bible says about this, because the Bible is so much more than just a book to make me feel better. It's so much more than just you and I feeling good. The word will literally transform your life. Our minds are renewed with truth. So I want to work the word a little bit today. I want to get into this. I'm not going to be long. I'm paying attention to the time today. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 3 and 4 are where we begin today. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. You're going to want to take notes. You're going to want to get to typing in your notes app, or get you some pen and paper and follow with me today. Paul is teaching the church at Corinth, and certainly you and I, in this 10th chapter, verses 3 and 4. He said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." That's teaching all by itself right there. In a society that says, you know, you got to be angry like everyone else is angry. In a world that says you have to fight fire with fire. You have to be ugly because they're ugly. You got to bring the smoke because they brought the smoke. In a world that says we have to retaliate and we have to react and we have to match threat for threat, Paul is saying that's not what he wants us to do. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. In other words, the weapons that we are supposed to use, the weapons that he has made at our disposal and given us to operate with and to win the war in our minds with, they have divine power. Everyone say power. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. Say strongholds. So these weapons that we have divine power. Not power in us, because we feel weak. We feel struggling. We feel, you know, timid and afraid. But he said it's divine power. It's a supernatural thing in your life. And that power will demolish strongholds. When you look at the word power, it is the word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. It references the explosive power of God. We very much believe in the power of God here at the church. We believe in healing. We believe in deliverance. We believe in breakthrough. That is the power of God. Strongholds is this other Greek word, acheroma. I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but it is a fortress or a military stronghold. Well, what is a stronghold? I've got a picture of one today so that you could see what a stronghold would have looked like in Paul's time when he is teaching this to the church at Corinth. It is a fortress that is built at the highest peak of a city, and it is reinforced by a wall that is, or could be, up to 20 feet thick. So when Paul is teaching that you and I, by the Spirit of God, have weapons that can demolish strongholds. They didn't have dynamite back then. They didn't have drone strike capability in Paul's day. The weapons they had were sword and spear. They had horses to ride on. They had slingshots and things like that. And so when you look at a fortress that has walls 20 feet thick, and you start saying, well, if I have the Lord on my side, I can demolish this stronghold. That was pretty hard for them to realize. If you and I, we almost see this stuff on the news weekly where they're sending drone strikes. Some drone operator, they were doing something out here, surveying land back behind the church or something back over here, but they were using our back parking lot as a staging area this week. They were using drone footage, and I had never seen a drone that size, but it was probably 5 or 6 feet wide and you know, 3 or 4 feet and stood way up off the ground. And I was trying to talk them into taking drone footage of our church so that we could make some kind of video or commercial out of it, but they weren't working with me on that. But they were flying that thing up by remote control. But in today's military, you know, there are military folks that set at a desk in North Carolina looking at a computer screen, flying a drone in Iraq or Iran, and they're shooting bombs from them, and they can take out something of that strength and that magnitude in just a matter of seconds. But Paul is teaching to people that don't have that kind of firepower. They do not have those kinds of weapons at their disposal. All they have are swords and spears. And so it's obvious that officials and officers and even prisoners of war, they were kept there during battle because they were very safe behind those walls. So let me talk to you about spiritual strongholds, because the truth is there are strongholds of deception that are built in your mind. There are strongholds that are built. deceiving us, causing us to believe something that is not true. And it's very difficult to penetrate those walls that we build up, because sometimes the walls that protect the untruth are very thick, and no one can talk us out of. No one can challenge our thinking. Whew, this is going to be a good series. No one can scale the wall to get in there and cause us to believe the truth or to help us see things differently. And ultimately, the lie carries you away from God's plan for your life. It shapes your thinking one thought at a time. It builds a prison of lies. Every graduate, hear me today. Every mom and dad, every grandparent, every single dad, single mom, every young adult in the room, hear me, every pastor, every worship leader, hear me. Because the lies that we believe, they carry us away from God's plan in our lives. What kind of lies are you talking about? Lies like, I can't trust people. Lies like, I'll never succeed. Lies like, you'll always be broke. I can't even say that one in the first person. I refuse. Lies like, my relationships never work out. You'll never have a good marriage. Or lies like, there is no God. Or equally as damaging, there is a God, he just doesn't like me. And he doesn't care. And he doesn't want to hear me when I pray. And I'll never be able to make a difference in anyone else's life. So how do we do battle in our mind? Because it feels like I have no control. These thoughts just come. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm just minding my own business. And these thoughts come into my head. Thoughts of defeat, thoughts of less than, thoughts of I'm not going to make it. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to, arrive or get there or get over this challenge hump or whatever it is going on in my life. And it feels like I have zero control in my thoughts. And let me just add in today, that's exactly how the enemy wants you to feel. He wants you to feel like there is no hope. He wants you to feel like you have no control. He wants you just to settle in and just let it take over in your life and allow him to just continue the downward spiral in your life. He wants you just to give up and let him rule and let him do what he chooses and wants to do in your life. But I pray there is someone in this room today that's saying, wait a minute, if you're telling me there's a war going on and currently I feel like I'm losing this war, I'm about to figure out how to get back on the offensive and start doing some work, some spiritual work to win the war in my mind. Does anybody feel that way today? You want to win this war in your mind. So Paul goes on, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. He said, we demolish arguments. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's the only way to win the war. We have to demolish argument. Every time we hear our mind telling us one thing, we have to say, wait a minute. That means you got to talk to yourself. That means you got to argue with yourself sometimes. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's what the Bible said. Sometimes you got to argue with yourself. Well, I don't really have time to talk to myself right now. Schedule an appointment. Carve out some time Get alone in the car somewhere. Get out far in the backyard somewhere and have the argument with the thoughts that are coming up in your mind. Every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Hear me, I don't just pray to feel good. I pray to get my mind right. I'm convinced that people who are negative all the time, they do not pray. They do not read the word, because it's impossible to read the word. It's impossible to pray and not want to do battle with these things in your mind. Because hear me today, our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Selah. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And both science and scripture agree. Anybody heard follow the science in the last few months? We're all about following the science. Let's follow the science here for just a moment. It's really popular these days. Science says that there is cognitive psychology. Cognitive psychology says that relational challenges, eating disorders, addictions, and many types of anxiety are all a direct result of toxic thinking. That's what science says. Cognitive psychology. If you're battling any one of those things, you got to do battle in your mind. Here's what scripture says. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what Proverbs 23 and 7 says. If you're thinking it's what is going to come true in your life, because the life we have is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. What we think determines who we become. Think you can't? You probably won't. Think you can? You probably will. If you dwell on your problems, they're going to overwhelm you. If you look for solutions, congratulations, you just found some. Feel like a victim? You'll always be a victim. Believe you can overcome in Christ, you will overcome through Christ. Just stop. Stop for just a moment. Stop and think about what you think about. Think about what you think about. I've got some graphics on the screen that'll help you, and help you online as well today, but the book refers to the thought audit. The thought audit. Here's what the thought audit looks like on a scale of 1 to 10. Worried being down at number 1 and peaceful being at number 10. Where do your thoughts rank 1 through 10? It's the thought audit. The thought audit. There's another thought audit. Negative as the 1, positive as the 10. Where do your thoughts rank? What do you think about the most? Do your thoughts, are they down there in the 3 to 4 range? Are they down there in the 1 to 2 range where they are mostly negative? Or are they up on the positivity side? Where are your thoughts? Here's another one. Worldly at the bottom of the scale, eternal at the top. You're in church today, so I would assume you're going to score pretty fair on this one, unless you come to church to absolve guilt, unless you come to church because you're scared of going to hell, unless you come to church just because, you know, you're trying to counteract the thoughts that you had all last week, or the deeds, the actions, the things that you were involved in. I hope somehow we can switch and we can grow and we can mature your spiritual relationship, that, hey, I'm coming to church because I have an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. It's not always about me trying to get right or get absolved or get forgiven. I'm living a forgiven and a saved life, and now I want to make a difference in someone else's life. Maybe you want to screenshot that today. Maybe you want to look at that so that you can spend some time thinking about that. Leave it up for just a moment, if you wouldn't mind, AV, and just let people grab that for just a second. You may want to spend some time thinking about that this week, because what we think about matters more than we realize. What we think about matters more than we realize. You say, Pastor Neil, they're just thoughts. I mean, how harmful could they be? Well, let's go a little further. Let's go a little further and talk some foundational truths today, because this one is pretty powerful. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. What comes into your mind comes out in your life. Again, you say, wait a minute, they're just thoughts. How harmful could they be? Well, thoughts are like trains. They take you somewhere. They lead you somewhere. They do something to your spirit, to the rest of your life. Here's another foundational truth. You cannot have a positive life when you have a negative mind. And I know we couch negativity in all kinds of things. I'm just being real. I'm just keeping it 100. But I can't have a positive life if I have a negative mind. Because no matter what you do, when you have a negative mind, it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter who you know. It doesn't matter what you buy or where you live. Makeup will not cover it. Fancy clothes will not disguise it. When you have a negative mind, it will ooze out of every part and pore of your life. Because our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And if that's true, if what I've taught so far is true, let me ask you a question. Are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Are you excited about where your mind is leading you? If you're not, and I would suspect there's many in this room who are not thrilled, given the context, given the first part of this message, you're probably saying, wait a minute, I could be doing better. I could rein this in. I need to demolish some arguments. I need to take captive some thoughts. I need to do some work in the area of my thought life. Guess what? You can change your thinking. You absolutely can renew your mind. For anyone in this room that would say, well, that's just always who I have been, and we excuse it with things like, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Or we say things like, well, my mom and daddy, they did the same thing. But yeah, when you know better, you do better. And that's not being unkind to your mom and dad. All of us do things differently than our parents did them. We just choose to take what they did as an excuse when we don't want to change the negative tendency and behaviors in our own lives. That was good right there. And when we challenge this, when we decide, you know what, I'm going to be renewed in my mind. You say, all right, you got me. I'm in. I know this needs to happen in my life, but how? How does it happen? I am so glad you asked, because I'm going to give you two steps today. Two steps for how you can realize it's all in your head and you can change your thinking. Number one, we have to identify the biggest stronghold that is holding you back. Identify the biggest stronghold that is holding you back. What is the biggest mental stronghold in your life? You may need to write that out in the margin of your notes. Type that in. What is the biggest mental stronghold in your life? Maybe you feel like you're not good enough. Maybe you think your past is too bad. Maybe you feel like you just can't trust, or that you're not good with money, or that you can't get close to God. I pastored someone for years, and that was often they would come and need to talk, sometimes just around an altar, sometimes in an appointment. They would say, I just can't feel God. I can't get close to God. Man, you're coming to church every week. You're faithful. You're serving. Just can't get close to God. We would go through all of the things that could distance. Is there sin in your life? Is there this, that? Just go down the list. No, there's none of that. There's none of that. It literally was a stronghold that had been built in his mind, that whenever he started feeling down, whenever he started, you know, just having a melancholy day, when things weren't going as he hoped they would go. And there are those days. All of us have them. Everybody, from the pastor to the sound man, everybody in the room has those days that just for whatever reason, our hair just doesn't fix right. You know, we step in the dog poop. Whatever it is, we just have those days where, yes, I just said that because you needed to wake up. We just have those days where things just happen. Life just happens, and we can't make spiritual things out of those. I can't say, well, man, I guess I'm defeated. I guess God doesn't love me. I guess I just can't get close to God. We cannot build a stronghold out of those things. Maybe that mental stronghold for you is, I hate my job. And so every Monday morning, your week, the tone is set for your week. Driving to work, I hate my job. You know what? If you say that enough times, nothing is going to go right at your job. No one's ever going to be able to do anything right in your life. My spouse will never change. Guess what? They're never going to change. Because I tell myself it's never going to happen. Something, let me say it this way. The more you think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. And again, science backs that up because there are neural pathways. You can go study this. It's fascinating. Neural pathways that says there are billions of pathways or roads or trails in your brain. Every thought creates a pathway. You ever see the picture of a brain? You can see it in our graphic today, all those little lines, and our brains are full of these pathways and lines and trails and roadways. It's a thought that was thunk. Thought that was thunk, and then it created a roadway. The more you think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. Soon it becomes our default. That path becomes so well worn in our brain That trail becomes so well worn in our mind that it becomes our thought, and we think that thought before we think any other thought. If it happens to be a negative thought, then you think a negative thought far faster than you think the positive thought, and it becomes a stronghold. So, for example, you go home and see if it's true in your front or backyard, but if I walk a certain path through my grass every single day for 100 days, what's going to happen? After 100 days, you're going to be able to see the exact steps I take along that path for the past 100 days, because the grass is going to weaken, if not completely die. It's going to move and separate, and I'm going to be down to just dirt because I keep walking the same path every single day. And the truth is, the more you walk a path, the easier it becomes to travel that path. But if I stay off that path for 100 days straight, if I stop thinking that thought for 100 days straight, guess what? With God, I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to stay off of that path. And if I stay off that path, what happens? It's going to get better. There's going to be new grass. It's going to begin to grow again. It's going to become harder to think that thought again. You're going to hear yourself saying things like, I can't believe I ever allowed myself to think those kinds of thoughts. You just got to renew your mind. I know I'm preaching it easier than it is to do, but I want to get the truth in your spirit. I want to begin a conversation. We're going to go deeper over the next few weeks, and I want you to be here every Sunday, as many Sundays as you can. Invite your friends. You're thinking of people right now like, oh man, my coworker, if they could hear this, they can. They can go to YouTube and watch this service, and then you can have them with you here next week, and they can hear it live and in person. If I stay off that path, what does Romans 12 and 2 says? Do not conform to the pattern or the path or the trail of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So with God's help, I'm going to stay off of the destructive paths, the lies, the untruths, and going to forge into new paths and new thoughts and right truth, because the truth sets us free. Anybody believe that today? So here's the assignment. Here's the assignment. Identify the biggest stronghold that is holding you back. Just one. Just pick the one. If you're saying, oh no, I've got like 25 of those. No, find the one that is the biggest. Start there. What is it? Name it. You can't defeat what you can't define. Here's the second step to change your thinking. Name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. We've identified the stronghold. We've named the stronghold. Now, what is the truth that demolishes? The truth that defeats? The truth that counters that stronghold? John 8 and 32, Jesus said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because the lie puts us in spiritual bondage. Some of us are literally living a life that is based on a lie. I don't know what that is. You're going to have to pray and figure out what is it? What is the thing? How am I living my life? What is the lie? What is the thing that I continue to think? What is the stronghold that I just will not allow to be demolished or destroyed in my life, because too many of us do not have what God wants us to have. We're not living the life God wants us to live because of a lie. We know the devil is the father of lies. It's ultimately he that plants those things in our minds. He uses people to confirm those things and, you know, kind of empower those things. If the lie is that you'll never trust people, then the enemy sends people into your life that are untrustworthy. And before you know it, the lie is just empowered and grown and made stronger, and the walls of the stronghold just get thicker and thicker. I feel like I've given you too much to think about today. So let me close. Whatever that lie is, whatever that stronghold is, remember 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Here's what you need to know today. You are not the prisoner to your thoughts. I'm not prisoner to my thoughts. You are not a prisoner to your thoughts. We, say me, I take my thoughts captive. Take captive is a military term. It's an aggressive term. I'm going to capture with a spear or a sword. When you go to Ephesians 6 and you put on the whole armor of God, what is it? There's the breastplate, there's the helmet, feet shod, loins girt about. All of that is defensive. All of that is to protect yourself, shield yourself against the wiles of the enemy. We're only given one offensive weapon out of that suit of armor that we put on. There's only one offensive weapon. What is it? It's the sword. And it's a type of the Word of God. We're trying to fight all of our battles with arguments and clapback and attitude and sometimes snapping a finger, when the only weapon I'm supposed to use is the Word of God. What if I would get in the Word and allow the Word to renew my mind and allow it to fight my battles? Look at the times that the enemy tempted Jesus, and Jesus would just say, "It's written." You know it's in the Bible, don't you? You know that's not going to happen because it is written. So name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. But as I close today, let me give you the good news that sounds like bad news. You ready? Good news that sounds like bad news. You are not enough. I know that sounds funny because I'm always preaching to you about being a winner and a champion, and you can do anything, but all of that is conditional. It's conditional on whether or not I allow Jesus to do that work in me and ultimately through me. I love what 2 Peter 1:3 says. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. While we're over here feeling like, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this, I'm missing that. I was born without that. I wasn't raised like this. I don't have that. When I come to Jesus, when I get saved, when I'm empowered by His Spirit, I have everything I need for a godly life. Whether it's time, patience, or energy, or wisdom, or right people, resources. I've got it. I've got it. What is the lie that's holding you back? And what's the truth that will set you free? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. So much Jesus in this room right now. Maybe people hearing this word today, you may be our guest, you may be longest tenured member in the house. The enemy is no respecter of persons. He'll fight every single one of us, challenge every single one of us. Maybe you've been on wrong paths in your life. Those could be paths of sin, addiction, choice, lifestyle, moral things. They could be anything. Or maybe you've been trying to live this life and do this, but there's just some well-worn paths in your mind, and too many of them are untruths, deceptions, lies that we've believed for too long. And today we need a new path, a new path that says, you know what, I can do all things through Christ. I am the head and not the tail. I am above only and not beneath. I am an overcomer. I am lovable. I am worthy. I am good. I'm desired. I'm wanted. New paths. New trails. New thoughts. Take captive every thought and make it obedient. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm praying today for someone in this room who would say, Pastor Darrell, I can't continue to think wrong thoughts, believe the lie, or struggle in my mind. Today, I need freedom. I need healing. I need help. I need emotional and spiritual health in my mind. The anxiety is too much today. I pray for you. Father, I ask you to help and to heal, to renew, to change, to challenge those strongholds and those thoughts. I pray that we not look at the stronghold as such a daunting task that we're never going to be able to overcome, that we'll never be able to defeat in our lives, because these weapons that we have with you, this divine power that we have with you, this supernatural grace, your Spirit that is in our lives, Lord, be able to pull these things down in just a moment, demolish these things in seconds, and live lives that are free. For there's someone in this room today that would feel like, you know what, I need to be saved today. I need radical renewal in my life. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for every trail, every path I've walked for too many days. I want the grass to grow there again. I want to forge a new path in my life. I don't want to believe a lie. I want to believe truth today. You are my Savior. You are my healer. You are delivering me. You are renewing my mind today. I'm not leaving here the same person. I'm not leaving here a prisoner to my thoughts. I'm leaving here the captor, not the captive. I'm leaving here the warden of this mental orb in my life. I'm deciding. But my steps are ordered by the Lord. And today, salvation has come to my house, and my life will never be the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can you just say amen in the room today? Say amen online today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you stand on your feet today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you want to spend a moment worshiping today, if you want to spend a moment just saying, you know what, Lord, with some heavy word, I need to process. I need to think through. I need to consider this. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to worship you. I want to give you praise today for what you've done. If you want to come around the front today, you can do that. These altars are open to come and find a place to say, you know what, today, I'm going to identify the stronghold, and then I'm going to name the truth. Today, I want to worship the truth that I know is going to make the difference in my life. If you got to go, God bless you. Make sure to see what's happening in the lobby. Sign up for Discover Church. Sign up for baptism. Get a barbecue ticket. It's a well-rounded day. So many fantastic things you can be a part of today in Jesus' name. We love you. We love you.
This is how I find my best.
This is how I fight.
This is how I find my best. This is how I find my best.
Yeah.
This is how I find my best. This is how I find my best. This is how I find